We're continuing Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I knew it, yelled Ron, punching the air. You always get away with stuff. They were bound to clear you, said Hermione, who had looked positively faint with anxiety when Harry had entered the kitchen and was now holding a shaking hand over her eyes. There was no case against you. None at all. Everyone seems quite relieved, though, considering they all knew I'd get off, said Harry, smiling. Mrs. Weasley was wiping her face on her apron, and Fred, George, and Ginny were doing a kind of war dance to a chant that went, he got off, he got off, he got off. It's a little dirty. That's enough. Settle down, shouted Mr. Weasley, though he too was smiling.
I kind of picture the war dance more like, he got off, he got off. He got off. He got off.
Oh, I see. I see. Like a faster version. Yeah. That reminds me of when we were a little younger, like, I was probably, I don't know, 16 or something like that, and Naftali broke his foot because the three of us were doing, like, some sort of dance like that. It was in response to playing some Super Nintendo game, I forget what. And, like, so something would happen, and then everyone would dance around, and Naftali ended up breaking his foot.
That's ridiculous.
You have sisters, you know how that's like. You never did that? Mm-mm. Anyway, so Mr. Weasley shouted, listen, Sirius, Lucius Malfoy was at the Ministry. What? Said Sirius sharply. He got off, he got off, he got off. Be quiet, you three. Yes, we saw him talking to Fudge on level 9. Then they went up to Fudge's office together. Dumbledore ought to know. Absolutely, said Sirius. We'll tell him, don't worry. Well, I better get going. There's a vomiting toilet in Bethnal Green waiting for me. Molly, I'll be late. I'm covering for Tonks, but Kingsley might be dropping in for dinner. He got off, he got off, he got off. That's enough. Fred, George, Ginny, said Mrs. Weasley, as Mr. Weasley left the kitchen. Harry, dear, come and sit down. Have some lunch. You hardly ate breakfast. Ron and Hermione sat themselves down opposite him, looking happier than they had done since... Happier than they had done? Probably happier than they had been. Since he had first arrived at number 12 Grimmauld Place, and Harry's feeling of giddy relief, which had somewhat been dented by his encounter with Lucius Malfoy, swelled again. The gloomy house seemed warmer and more welcoming all of a sudden. Even Creature looked less ugly as he poked his snout-like nose into the kitchen to investigate the source of all the noise. Of course, once Dumbledore turned up on your side, there was no way they were going to convict you, said Ron happily, now dishing great mounds of mashed potatoes onto everyone's plates. How are they eating mashed potatoes for lunch? It seems
delicious.
Wrong. It's a dinner food. Unacceptable. Things have their places, damn it. Yeah, he swung it for me, said Harry. Harry felt that it would sound highly ungrateful, not to mention childish, to say, I wish he'd talked to me, though, or even looked at me. As he said this, the scar on his forehead burned so badly that he clapped his hand up to it. What's up? Hermione said, looking alarmed. Scar, Harry mumbled. But it's nothing. It happens all the time now. None of the others had noticed a thing. All of them were now helping themselves to food, while gloating over Harry's narrow escape. Fred, George, and Ginny were still singing. Hermione looked rather anxious, but before she could say anything, Ron said happily, I bet Dumbledore turns up this evening to celebrate with us, you know. I don't think he'll be able to, Ron, said Mrs. Weasley, settling a huge plate of roast chicken down in front of Harry. He's really very busy at the moment. He got up, he got up. He got up. Shut up, roared Mrs. Weasley. Over the next few days, Harry could not help noticing there was one person within number 12 Grimmauld Place who did not seem totally overjoyed that he'd be returning to Hogwarts. Sirius had put up a very good show of happiness on first hearing the news, wringing Harry's hand and beaming just like the rest of them. Soon, however, he was moodier and surlier than before, talking less to everybody, even Harry, and spending increasing amounts of time shut up in his mother's room with Buckbeak. Don't you go feeling guilty, said Hermione sternly, after Harry had confided some of his feelings to her and Ron, while they scrubbed out a moldy cupboard on the third floor a few days later. You belong at Hogwarts, and Sirius knows it. Personally, I think he's being selfish. It's a bit harsh, Hermione, said Ron, frowning as he attempted to prise off a bit of mold that had attached itself firmly to his finger. You wouldn't want to be stuck inside this house without company. He'll have company, said Hermione. It's headquarters to the Order of the Phoenix, isn't it? He's just got his hopes up that Harry would be coming to live here with him. I don't think that's true, said Harry, wringing out his cloth. He wouldn't give me a straight answer when I asked him if I could. He just probably didn't want to get his hopes up even more, said Hermione wisely. And he probably felt a bit guilty himself, because I think a part of him was really hoping you'd be expelled. Then you'd both be outcasts together. Come off it, said Harry and Ron together, but Hermione merely shrugged. Suit yourselves. But I sometimes think Ron's mum's right, and Sirius gets confused whether you're your father, Harry. Do you think he's touched in the head? Said Harry heatedly. No, I think he's just been very lonely for a long time, said Hermione simply. At this point, Mrs. Weasley entered the bedroom behind them. Still not finished, she said, poking her head into the cupboard. I thought you might like to tell us to have a break, said Ron bitterly. Do you know how much mold we've gotten rid of since we've arrived here? You were so keen to help the Order, said Mrs. Weasley. You can do your bit by making headquarters filth to live in. I feel like a house elf, grumbled Ron. Well, now that you understand what dreadful lives they live, perhaps you'll be a bit more active in spew, said Hermione, hopefully. Oh, she pronounces it S-P-E-W, right? As Mrs. Weasley left them to it. You know, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea to show people exactly how horrible it is to clean all the time. We could do a sponsored scrub of Gryffindor Common Room. All proceeds to S-P-E-W. It would raise awareness as well as funds. I'll sponsor you to shut up about spews, Ron muttered irritably, but only so Harry could hear him. Harry found himself daydreaming about Hogwarts more and more as the end of the holidays approached. What holidays? I thought it's summertime.
Summer holiday.
Oh, right, they call all vacation holiday. Those crazy Brits. He could not wait to see Hagrid again. What? Really? To play Quidditch. I guess that makes sense. He likes that. Even to stroll across the vegetable patches to the herbology greenhouses. Oh, but he doesn't really want to do that. It'd be a treat just to leave this dusty, musty house, where half the cupboards were still bolted shut, and creature wheezed insults out of the shadows as you passed. Though Harry was careful not to say any of this within earshot of Sirius. Man, this is a long chapter. The fact was that living at the headquarters of the anti-Voldemort movement was not nearly as interesting or exciting as Harry would have expected before he'd experienced it. Although members of the Order of the Phoenix came and went regularly, sometimes staying for meals, sometimes only for a few minutes' whispered conversation, Mrs. Weasley made sure that Harry and the others were kept well out of earshot, whether extendable or normal, and nobody, not even Sirius, seemed to feel that Harry needed to know anything more than he had heard on the night of his arrival. On the very last day of the holiday, Harry was sweeping up Hedwig's owl droppings from the top of the wardrobe when Ron entered their bedroom carrying a couple of envelopes. Book lists have arrived, he said, throwing one of the envelopes up to Harry, who was standing on a chair. About time, I thought they'd forgotten. They usually come much earlier than this. Harry swept the last of the droppings into a rubbish bag, threw the bag over Ron's head into the waste paper basket in the corner, which swallowed it and belched loudly. He then opened his letter. It contained two pieces of parchment, one the usual reminder that the term started on the 1st of September, and the other telling him which books he would need for the coming year. Only two new ones, he said, reading the list. The Standard Book of Spells, Grade 5, by Miranda Goshawk, and Defensive Magical Theory by Wilbert Slinkard. There was a loud crack. Fred and George apparated right beside Harry. He was so used to them doing this by now that he didn't even fall off his chair. We were just wondering who assigned the Slinkard book, said Fred conversationally, because it means Dumbledore has found a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. And about time, too, said Fred. What do you mean? Harry asked, jumping down beside them. Well, we overheard Mum and Dad talking on the extendable ears a few weeks back, Fred told Harry. From what they were saying, Dumbledore was having real trouble finding anyone to do the job this year. Not surprising, is it, when you look at what's happened the last four, said George. One sacked, one dead, one memories removed, and one locked in a trunk for 9 months, said Harry, counting them off on his fingers. Yeah, I see what you mean. What's up with you, Ron? Said Fred. Ron didn't answer. Harry looked around. Ron was standing very still, with his mouth slightly open, gaping at his letter from Hogwarts. What's the matter? Said Fred impatiently, moving around Ron to look over his shoulder at the parchment. Fred's mouth fell open, too. Prefect, he said, staring incredulously at the letter. Prefect? George leapt forward, seizing the envelope in Ron's other hand, and turned it upside down. Harry saw something scarlet and gold fall into George's palm. No way, said George in a hushed voice. There's been a mistake, said Fred, snatching the letter out of Ron's grasp, holding it up to the light as though checking for a watermark. No one in the right mind would make Ron a prefect. The twins' head turned in unison, both of them stared at Harry. We thought you were cert, said Fred in a tone that suggested Harry had tricked them in some way. We thought Dumbledore was bound to pick you, said George indignantly. Winning the Triwizard and everything, said Fred. Suppose he's got all the mad stuff must have counted against him, said George to Fred. Yeah, well, Fred said slowly. Yeah, you've caused too much trouble, mate. Well, at least one of you's got your priorities right. He strode over to Harry and clapped him on the back while giving Ron a scathing look. Prefect. Icky Ron the Prefect. Oh, Mum's going to be revolting, said George, thrusting the Prefect badge at Ron as though it might contaminate him. Ron, who still had not said a word, took the badge, stared at it for a moment, and then held it out to Harry, as though asking mutely for confirmation that it was genuine. Harry took it. A large P was superimposed on the Gryffindor line. He had seen a badge just like this one on Percy's chest his very first day at Hogwarts. The door banged open. Hermione came tearing into the room, her cheeks flushed and her hair flying. There was an envelope in her hand, too. Did you get it? She spotted the badge in Harry's hand and let out a shriek. I knew it, she said excitedly, brandishing the letter. Me too, Harry, me too. No, said Harry quickly, pushing the badge back into Ron's hand. It's Ron, not me. It's what? Ron's prefect, not me, said Harry. Ron, said Hermione, her jaw dropping. But are you sure? I mean, she's awful. She turned red as Ron looked at her with a defiant expression on his face. It's my name on the letter, he said. I said Hermione, looking thoroughly bewildered. Well, wow. Well done, Ron. That's really unexpected, said George, nodding. No, said Hermione, blushing harder than ever. No, it's not. Ron's done loads of... He's really... The door behind her opened a little wider, and Mrs. Weasley backed into the room, carrying a pile of freshly laundered robes. Ginny said the book lists had come at once, she said, glancing around at the envelopes as she made her way over to the bed and started sorting the robes into two piles. If you give them to me, I'll take them over to Diagon Alley this afternoon and get your books while you're packing. Ron, off to get you more pajamas. These are at least 6 inches too short. I can't believe how fast you're growing. What color would you like? Get him red and gold to match his badge, said George, smirking. Matches what? Said Mrs. Weasley absently, rolling up a pair of maroon socks and placing them on Ron's pile. His badge, said Fred, with the air of getting the worst over quickly. His lovely, shiny, new prefix badge. Fred's word took a moment to penetrate Mrs. Weasley's preoccupation with pajamas. But, Ron, you're not. Ron held up his badge. Mrs. Weasley let out a shriek just like Hermione's. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Oh, Ron, how wonderful. A prefect. That's everyone in the family. What are Fred and I, next-door neighbors? Said George indignantly, as his mother pushed him aside and flung her arms over her youngest son. Wait until your father hears. Ron, I'm so proud of you. What wonderful news. You can end up head boy just like Bill and Percy. It's first step. Oh, what a thing to happen in the middle of all this. I'm just thrilled. Oh, Ronnie. Fred and George were both making loud, retching noises behind her back, but Mrs. Weasley didn't notice. Her arms tight around Ron's neck, she was kissing him all over his face, which had just turned a brighter scarlet than his badge. "Mum, don't. Mum, get a grip," he muttered, trying to push her away. She let go of him and said breathlessly, "Well, what will it be? We gave Percy an owl, but you've already got one, of course." "What do you mean?" said Ron, looking as though he didn't dare believe his ears. "You've got to have a reward for this," said Mrs. Weasley fondly. "What a nice set of new dress robes." "We've already bought him some," said Fred sourly, who looked as though he sincerely regretted this generosity. "Or a new cauldron, Charlie's old one's rusting through, or a new rat, he always liked scabbers." "Mum," said Ron hopefully, "can I have a new broom?" Mrs. Weasley's face fell slightly. Broomsticks were expensive. "Not a really good one," Ron hastened to add. "Just a new one for a change." Mrs. Weasley hesitated, then smiled. "Of course you can. Well, I'd better get going if I've got a broom to buy. I'll see you all later. Little Ronnie, a prefect. And don't forget to pack your trunks, prefect. Oh, I'm all of a dither." She gave Ron yet another kiss on the cheek, sniffed loudly, and bustled from the room. I think we'll stop there. We will continue. Chapter 9. Probably later tonight.
Because you asked me to continue. And you're very cute, and I love you so much. You're so sweet.
Good night, kitten.